This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us this Sunday, and please tune in again for an uplifting gospel message every week on this station.
When you think of God, is He the divine heavenly Father or a supreme power? We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we give our thanks to You for coming to this world to be our Savior and our Lord. We thank You that You are anxious to build a relationship with us, and that relationship becomes very personal. So help us as we study Your Word together today, that we may see a biblical base for that relationship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, I was visiting recently with a man who had been in a very serious automobile accident. And I said to him, "Tell me about it." Well, he said, a semi-truck hit me, and the car was totaled. But I came out of there without any serious illness at all. There must be some higher power watching over me. Now, I didn't say this, ask him this, and I wished I had. But what I would like to have asked him is, what do you mean by a higher power? And I'm sure he would have said, well, I want you to know that I am not an atheist. I'm not an agnostic. But I am a person who doesn't go to church very often, and I don't know if you can bring God down to our human level. So I think that that higher power, whatever it is, impersonal as it is, somehow or other can protect us in a given situation. And that's how I describe coming out of that automobile accident with no serious illness. I left him wondering. It was a beautiful opportunity to talk further with him, but I sensed that he was a little bit antsy about it, and so I wasn't going to go any further. Probably my mistake. But the question is, how do you pray to an impersonal God? How do you come to a person if it's not an automobile accident, but you're something that's on your mind and you're very concerned about it? Do you say, for example, O thou great higher power, protect our son or daughter who is fighting in Afghanistan? Now, there's nothing very personal about that, is there? It doesn't show any meaningful relationship. And certainly, my friend, this is never found in the scriptures. God is always considered personal. I'd like to read for you today our text as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning with the fourth verse. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but you're a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Now, it's very obvious here that God wants to have a real personal relationship with us. Our Heavenly Father is a higher power, of course, but he's far more than that. Now, if you have come from a home where they really have loved you, the term father or mother or parent takes on a real personal relationship with us. The text is more meaningful, I think, today if we have had these kind of parents, at least one of the other. When I go back over my life, I see how my father and my mother were very, very personal in their relationship with me. They cared for me. I was really, in one sense of the word, a big part of their life. They sacrificed for me. My father never made a lot of money. He worked in a paper mill. And so sometimes it was nip and tuck, especially during the days of the Depression. But we always had good food on the table. We always had presentable clothing. And sometimes there was a luxury that came. I recall when I was growing up, and I was probably in junior high school, or what they would call junior high school today. They were putting together a junior high band, and I so wanted to play in that band. I wanted to play a trumpet, but there was no extra money. However, during that time, my father received some money from World War I. Now it was a question, should he have some clothing because he hardly had a suit to wear to church, or should he buy me a second-hand trumpet? He chose the latter. He chose to forsake himself and to give me a trumpet that I may play in the band. The same thing took place, I believe, when it was time to go on to college. The folks sacrificed. They sent money regularly to me. They expected me to do my part of the job, and I worked as I went to school. But they were very, very anxious that I have an education. There were times that I appeared rather helpless. The task that was before me was more than I could take. And there was my father and my mother coming in with their strength and their help so that this particular problem could be solved. For example, there were two brothers who loved to beat up on me. And no matter how nice I was to them, they still beat up on me. And so one day I came home with a good black eye. My father said, "Enough is enough." And he got me in the car. And away we went to visit with the mother and the father of those two boys. And said, "We cannot permit this any longer." In other words, what I was not able to stop, he did. That was my father. And my mother was equally supportive in everything. Now, when you come from a home like that, you have some understanding what our text says, that God wants to be our Heavenly Father. We are His Son, and He wants to live in a very, very close relationship with us. So close, for example, that He speaks to us regularly on any given moment. It's not day by day, but it is hour by hour, and sometimes in days of good things happening, and days when it's hard, He's right there minute by minute by minute. Here is what the text says. God is our Heavenly Father. Far greater than any father we could have as far as this world is concerned. He is our Father. He gave us His Son. And that was Christmas that we have just celebrated, when God sent into this world His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son was to come and to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. And that He did for us. The suffering was taking a lot of abuse verbally from the people who were living around Him. A slap on the face now and then. Called all kinds of names. Rejected what He had come to tell them when He came and said, "I am the Messiah. I am the one who will redeem you. We are going to build a new kingdom. Once it was just Israel, but now it is expanded for the whole world." And He said it in these words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Notice, it's the world. And they were to go, those who were His believers, into the far corners of this world to tell the story that God loves them so much as their Heavenly Father that He has given His Son. Now that's not impersonal. That's a personal relationship with God. He goes on to show that He, on the cross of Calvary, suffered and died for the sins of the world. In other words, when Jesus was dying at Calvary, He had all the sins of the world upon Him. He came to redeem us, to win us back, to make us his, for now the sin had been taken away. We had the full rights of a son. That is not some higher power. This is a God who says, I walk with you under all conditions. Just take a look at some of those passages that we often mention. Cast all of your cares on me. I really care for you. That is what he would say. He said to a robber on the cross, who evidently had done something bad, I forgive you. Today you shall be with me in paradise. There is that great old word that we hear so often, and I repeat it so often, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Very, very clear, isn't it? Last evening, I listened to an interview on television. They were interviewing an actor, and the man conducting the interview asked him, can you tell me what do you really believe about God? And he said, well, I'm God. I'm my own God. And the conversation went on, and finally the interviewer asked him, do you believe in eternity? And he didn't have very much to say. It's such a mystery. It can't really be laid hold of as far as this world is concerned. So here's a man with multi-million dollars and great prestige, who is living with the opinion that there's nothing he can know until that day comes. And then when that day comes, he will understand. But it will be too late. For God calls us while we are right here now. He says, you follow me. And I will send my Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will press into your heart the Lord Jesus, and he'll go with you all the way. You can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it. And that is what we need to realize today. Isn't it a terrible thing to have to go through life and realize the greatest strength that you have to surround you, even for this world is concerned, is probably another person. And we thank God for these other people who are great comfort and security to us. But to think that we have no divine power, a heavenly Father who says, yea, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I fear no evil, for I am with you. And so if someday someone has to say to you or to your loved ones, well, it doesn't look good. You have a malignancy and it's inoperable. I'll give you 6 months. I need a personal God, a Father who is standing right there with me in the doctor's office, and a Father who will stand by my bedside when I draw my last breath. Friends, don't become a prey to those who say we don't know, when it's written so clearly God has left us with a witness. He doesn't want us out here thinking that we could run the show ourselves. He wants us to know that we are dependent upon him. And there's no one under heaven who can give that security to us but Jesus Christ himself. Listen again. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. What for? To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You see, we're his son. And as a father comes to his son and a son to the father, this is our relationship with God. God is too much for me. I can't stand it any longer. And then he simply says, I am with you always. You see, that's why the psalmist could say, God is our refuge and strength. He is our help in every situation. So, friend, it comes down to this. There is an almighty God who wants to live in you. The Holy Spirit will come and plant him in your being. He will be your supreme being. You have a choice. Do you want to live in a daily relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you at the best willing to say, there's got to be some supreme power? That'll do you no good. But to know him as a Savior, that will give you the promise that does pass all understanding. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we look out on our world and see how many people have rejected you, and at the best are willing to say there may be a higher power, Someone looking after me. The man upstairs. Oh God, use your church to present Jesus as that personal Savior, the one who goes with us all the way, who stands beside us when all of the earthly power and strength in our being is gone. We thank you that that's a message for the world, and all it requires is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will say, come, come, Lord Jesus, and live in our life. For we need you. We need you so very, very bad. We pray as we have already spent 1 month in the new year, that we may grow spiritually. We pray for our country, the president, and all of those who are in authority over us. God grant that we may be obedient servants first of you, and then of those who have been given that task, that awesome task of running our nation according to your will. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon will provide inspiration and joy as you face the week ahead. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Now, these gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. Honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone who's still in your life. Please send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who live outside our broadcast areas can listen anytime on christiancrusaders.org. You can even call our office to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. By reaching out to others with the Word, we help share the light of the Lord to those who walk in darkness. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct requests to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 50 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.